We start the new year with some of our favorite people.
We're living in a day of delusion. This is delusion that we are in. And that's why we have to keep our heads about us now. Don't repeat lies that they tell us. Live only by truth.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we are taking you back to the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Many special video recordings took place that day, and we're going to share some of those with you today. Here is today's programming.
And welcome to the program. So glad you could join me today. I'm sharing two special presentations. The first is Michelle Bachman's rather brief message at Behold He Comes, the conference held last September 11th at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. This was a two-day event with other speakers, including Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Barry Stagner, and yours truly. Michelle closed the event with a few words I'm sharing with you today, so let's get right to her message.
Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you for everyone who is here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. This is the hottest ticket in America today, and aren't you glad you got it? And very welcome to everyone who's joining us from 53 countries across the world and undoubtedly all 50 states across America. And we are gathered here today on September 11th. Jack had alluded briefly to the significance of this day, that it was on this day that the Islamic terrorists were conquered not only once but twice in two decisive losses for them. Well, Jack was giving you just a little bit of a picture at the beginning of the United States of America when President Thomas Jefferson said, "I need to read a Quran." And he told you it was because our Navy and our merchants were being attacked. Do you know that 25% of the entire American budget was being spent to have to pay off extortion fees to the Islamic pirates who were stealing our ships and capturing our people? We couldn't go on. So out of his wisdom, he figured out he needed to understand, what's the motivation behind these Islamic terrorists? Why are they doing this? And so he got the Quran and he read it. Not for the purpose that he was interested in maybe thinking about a different religion. He was not. He wanted to know, how do I defeat these people? So he figured out what their motivation was. You heard it from Amir, who gave you what their motivation is. It's the fact that they are Islamic supremacists, and they believe it's their job to kill you if you don't submit to Allah. This is a demonic ideology, a demonic belief system. And our founding fathers figured that out. They were sensible of danger, and they defeated that foe. Now come forward to today and take a look at what happened. It's almost so tragic. I start to weep every time I think about it with what we just saw happen in the month of August. But I want to go back 20 years to today on September 11th, because we saw just in the beautiful Billy Graham clip, the picture of the smoking towers, the burning towers, the collapsing towers, knowing that people literally, without even making a conscious thought, hurled themselves out of the buildings because they could do no less. The temperatures exceeded 1,000 degrees, and they jumped to their deaths in an involuntary motion. You see, today, 20 years ago, was horrific. It was the tragedy that we had never seen before in the history of the United States. And we can never forget what happened in New York City to innocent people by design. A death machine, airplanes filled to make the trek designed to go from the East Coast to California, because they would affect maximum damage and death on the Twin Towers, and maximum damage and death on the Pentagon. And whatever the fourth building was that they were intending, whether it was the White House or whether it was the Capitol, former Attorney General John Ashcroft on that day earlier this week told me that they had heard in the intercepts that the terrorists themselves were arguing, should it be the White House, should it be the Capitol? It was going to be one of them. That was their plan for us and for America, because they see that they want to conquer this land. This has been the same since 700. As a matter of fact, I just was reading yesterday a piece from Martin Luther. And Martin Luther wrote, "The Turk, meaning the Muslim, is the rod of the wrath of the Lord our God. If the Turk's God, the devil, is not beaten first, there is no reason to fear that the Turk will not be so easy to beat. Christian weapons and power must do it. The fight against the Turks must begin with repentance. And we must reform our lives or we shall fight in vain. The church should drive men to repentance by showing our great and numberless sins and our ingratitude by which we have earned God's wrath and disfavor so that he justly gives us into the hands of the devil and the Turk." That's what he wrote. That we had better understand who this enemy is. And we see that throughout all of history, this isn't just now, this is in the ancient times when God's people turned away from worshiping him and turned to worship Baal and sacrificed their children to Molech, when they turned away so severely from God, he brought the Babylonians, what God called his deputy prime minister, to bring justice. It is very difficult for us to think about this, to understand it. I don't pretend to, as I stand up here today. I don't pretend to understand the mind of God, the ways of God. But I do know what I read in the scripture. And he has used kingdoms to bring about his judgment. And here in America, I think there is no doubt, we are in judgment. We are living in judgment. By whatever means he uses, he wishes that all men would be saved, that the Muslim would be saved. He wants all people to be saved, but he also uses for his power and for his glory and for his kingdom, he uses those to bring about judgment. And 20 years ago today, we saw the great shaking in the United States. We were shattered, and we are still shaking today from that shattering, because what did they choose? They chose what they saw is the absolute epicenter of American economic might and power, the two World Trade Center towers in Lower Manhattan. And that's what they went after. Because they sought to bring down the United States of America, which is known for its economic might, because on September 11th, 2001, we were clearly, without question, the undisputed economic and military superpower of the earth, the greatest the world had ever seen. And on that absolutely fabulous, cloudless day, planes came in as missiles. And 3,000 innocent, sacred, random lives were gone, just like that. That was their plan. Hit the economic powerhouse. The next plane went into the Pentagon. At one time, it was the largest office building in the world. It was sent there for one reason and one reason only, to take out the Department of Defense, the home of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to defeat America militarily and to bring us down to our knees. Because if you defeat the economic giant, if you defeat the military giant, you defeat the giant. And that was by design. That was 20 years ago. What's happened in 20 years' time? In 20 years' time, America has become the brokest nation the world has ever seen. I almost laugh when I hear these ignoramuses say, "Oh, America is the richest nation in the world." No, we are not. We are the brokest nation in the world. without even a hope of being able to pay back our debt. And what is it that these numbskulls are talking about in D.C.? Oh, we've got to have a fake, phony infrastructure bill of $5 trillion. Do you know what the whole U.S. national budget is in a year? $2 trillion. And since the administration switched in January, the first bill was in excess of $1 trillion. Oh, well, now we have to have a $3.5 trillion bill. Oh, now we have to have another $2.5 trillion bill. Trillion here, trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. That's what these geniuses are saying. They are taking us down economically, militarily. I submit to you that 20 years hence, from September 11th, 2001, when we had the greatest internal shaking that the United States has ever had. And we have seen our response to it. When, as Jack said, the churches were filled immediately after 9/11 with people seeking God, asking the timeless question, where is God in suffering? Where did America go? To transgender bathrooms, to moving away from Him, to a population that has 6% of our population holds to a biblical worldview. When you look at where we have gone in 20 years, it hasn't been in the right direction. And so now 20 years later, bookending almost exactly 20 years to the day of September 11th, this week earlier, I was talking with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I interviewed him. We ran a conference yesterday at Regent University. You can all watch it. It's at regent.edu/911. Go watch it. Also, while you're there, go watch the other conference that we did, regent.edu/election integrity, because Donald Trump won the election. It was stolen. And you will see it. Absolutely. It's all laid out in our conference, regent.edu/election integrity. It was stolen. That's part of the coup. We are in a coup right now. War is being declared against us. We're in a coup.
If you just joined me, I'm playing a brief message given by Michelle Bachman at the Behold He Comes conference last September 11th in Southern California. We have complete DVD sets of the entire event as well. Find them in my online store. Here's Michelle to wrap up her message.
But what happened with the collapse in Afghanistan is that Afghanistan didn't collapse. America collapsed. And this is hard for me to even say the words. We won this war. 2,500 brave American soldiers held all of Afghanistan until one day in August 2021. Joe Biden gave the order. In the middle of the night, everybody was sleeping. All of our military, BAMUS, out of Afghanistan. We didn't tell our NATO partners. We didn't tell the surrounding nations. We didn't tell the Afghans on the ground who were the soldiers that we were leaving. We were out of there. It's like, what? Nobody's ever done that before. All the Americans in the neighborhoods, we didn't go out and get them. France figured out how to do it. Belgium figured out how to do it. Australia figured out how to do it. And these monsters, and I don't say that lightly. I don't want to be mean to monsters. These monsters in Washington, D.C., the defense secretary, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, these people left the American civilians on the ground, the people that we were supposed to take out. Last weekend, two articles came out on Friday. That's document dump day. Two articles came out. One said this, that our Department of Defense knew that there was a bomb that was at Abbey Gate, and they knew that something was going to happen. And we have overhead architecture, we have drones, and there was a kill strike lock on that target. But the Department of Defense asked our partners, the Taliban, for permission. The Taliban vetoed. 200 people are dead. I can hardly talk about it. We need to be sensible of the danger that we're in. We need to be sober about these times. If you were watching the news at all, this got a little bit more play. Six planes were sitting on the ground, filled, ready to go. The problem was our State Department wouldn't give them permission. They were holding us back all the way. What? What? Why? I asked Secretary Pompeo this week, why? Can you explain it? He couldn't explain it. Let me just take a stab. You see, we're 20 years hence, and this was by design. I will tell you, you don't make this many mistakes, even Joe Biden. You don't make this many mistakes. This is by design. And so we are bookended. God gave us an opportunity for repentance. He always does. 20 years ago, we were given the biggest wake-up call of our life. We needed to repent and confess our sins. We needed to run to the loving arms of the God who would forgive and save. But we're at a time of such growth. As Amir said, we are in the days of Noah without a shadow of a doubt. And now here we are 20 years hence. And Joe Biden said that he wanted to be out on September 11th. September 11th, why? Because he knew it was going to be defeat. That's the date he wanted to be out. Not on August 31st, he wanted to be out on September 11th. Because of the symbolism that would show that we are conquered. All over the world today, the world sees we're defeated. We were the strong horse. We are the weak horse. And I hate to stand up here and tell you this. Mark Steyn, the great commentator, you see him on Fox, he got this first, and he's right. Our superpower status is toppled. We are no longer the economic superpower of the world. There are trajectories. China's on the trajectory to be the economic superpower of the world. We are not. As of Kabul, Afghanistan, we are no longer the military superpower of the world. For everyone in this auditorium, you have never been alive a day in your life when America was not the economic and military superpower of the earth. You woke up every morning just confident you lived in America, greatest country in the world, et cetera, et cetera. We are no longer the superpower on earth. In the 1940s and 1950s, there was a very peaceful transfer of global power. It went from Pax Britannica to Pax Americana, the smoothest transfer of global power you have ever seen. This next transfer will not be a pretty sight. We are entering an extremely violent world because America has been a force for good in the world. We have been a force for good. The world changes dramatically. After the election was stolen last November, and mark my words, it was, regent.edu/election integrity. After the election was stolen, you saw evidence out front that we were in the middle of a coup. This is a coup. What is a coup? It is a hostile takeover of a legitimate government. That's what we're watching. Now, when you see the government that is in power right now, nobody believes that Joe Biden is calling the shots, much less the vice president. Somebody is. I can't tell you who it is. But the shots that are being called are to America's detriment. Have you noticed? Southern borders wide open. Come one, come all. Oh, vaccine? No, you guys don't have to worry about it. It's all of you who have to get the vaccine. Members of Congress don't. Federal judges don't, their staffs don't, you have to get the vaccine. We're living in a very different time where they're spending money that we don't have, willfully disgracing the United States on the battlefield, leaving $90 billion of the most advanced technical equipment you've ever seen, including little devices about this big that has the biometric data of every U.S. soldier, every U.S. citizen, every ally, their eyes, their facial feature, where they lived, their picture, everything about them in the hands of the Taliban. The Taliban, by the way, is our enemy. This is what happened. The media doesn't seem too worried. They moved on. New York Times didn't even do an institutional editorial. You see, we are being ruled by monsters. They are monsters. The White House press secretary, the president of the United States, they don't seem too nervous about what just happened in Afghanistan. In fact, they were just saying on September 10th, yesterday, this was a big success in Afghanistan. This is a huge success. And that's because we're living in a day of delusion. This is delusion that we are in. And that's why we have to keep our heads about us now. Don't repeat lies that they tell us. Live only by truth. Yesterday, when we were told, mandated by the president himself, that all federal employees are going to have to be vaccinated and all employees in businesses with 100 or more have to be vaccinated, just realize this is their talk. They're seeing how far they can get away with. Now this is the moment. And again, if you want to get vaccinated, have at it. That's not what this is about. This is about the utter and complete lawlessness that we're living in. And so today, for the very first time, I saw the video Jan Markell showed. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen that before from the World Economic Forum, because I knew that the words that I wanted to share with you were painful, the most painful words I've ever shared, because my calling is government. And the words I wanted to share with you is that just within the last few weeks, America has lost our superpower status. It just happened. And the whole world has just changed because of it. And what was in that video that Jan showed? One of the goals, maybe goal number 3 or 4, is that the U.S. will no longer be a superpower nation. So the goals, one by one, they're checking the box for what it is they intend to do. Well, let me tell you, this was a big one. Have America lose her superpower status. It's why they had to steal the election. It's why they have to sink the economy. And it's why they had to have America get a royal black eye on the world stage. Because you see, in Scripture it says, Israel will be alone. When the major attack comes, no nation will come to her defense. I couldn't even imagine that the U.S. would not be there. I look at it now, and as Jan Markell says so well, when it looks like things are falling apart, they're really falling into place. You see, Father, we love you. We adore you. We believe your word. There is nothing more true than your word. So, Father, with one hand, one heart, one voice, we confess our sins before you. We repent before you, O God. We return to you. And we recognize your commandments, O God, that you are God and there is none other. And you are holy and worthy of our praise. O Father, forever and ever, amen.
When I come back, we're going in a different direction. At the conference, we had a roundtable discussion on church issues, eschatology, and more. Participants included Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Barry Stagner, and yours truly. And I'm going to play that in its entirety in the time remaining. So more in a moment.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That is olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are heading into a new year, and we want to thank all of you who have stood with us both prayerfully and financially in 2021. This radio outreach is now in its 21st year. It has been a joyful experience thanks to the many people who have touched our lives. Our radio guests have enlightened our audience, and you, as faithful listeners, have been loyal supporters. The new year promises to have more challenges than we can imagine. And while the temptation is to agonize over changes in the world and church that have not been for the better, remember God outlined the last days in His love letter to us all, the Bible. In the end, we win and He wins. In the meantime, we will continue to watch all things fall into place and listen for the sound of a trumpet that announces his calling the church home.
Is the church that has gone woke, is that a New Testament church? Is a church that's not teaching about Jesus' return, can it be a New Testament church? A church that doesn't see the Word of God as being absolute authoritative in the rule of our lives, can it be a New Testament church? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing that Jesus wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount with in Matthew 7, 21, where he talks about those who come to him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do a lot of Christian stuff?
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org. Then to complete archives on YouTube, on Rumble, on Light Source, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here's part two of this week's programming featuring Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Barry Stagner, and Jan Markell.
Welcome back. As I announced, here is the roundtable discussion we had at the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference on September the 11th. All conference participants other than Michelle Bachman participate here. Pastor Jack Hibbs moderates. Here's that entire discussion.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to behind the scenes, actually, backstage of what's going on at the conference. This is very, very unscripted. Is it not very unscripted?
Very.
We have no idea what we're talking about. So let's just jump into this. People are joining us right now for good reason. The world has gone seemingly mad. I say seemingly crazy. Jen would say the world is
falling into place.
Exactly. So Barry, jump in on this. What do you see happening in our world as it relates to the church at this moment?
Well, I think what Paul talked about in the defection from truth and the not putting up a sound doctrine, giving a preference to fables and things that tickle the ear. And we have a felt needs kind of world, and we have a church that's bought into that, that the church's mission is really to improve your this life circumstance. Vance Havner said the church has become the old Adam Improvement Society. And just making this life better for us, when Jesus said in this life you're going to have tribulation. So I think really that's kind of been the primary focus of what we've seen in recent history of the church. It's just, hey, how can I get the most out of this package we call life? It's really kind of an abandonment of what the primary mission of the church is, which is preach the gospel.
Amir, coming from Israel, look, we watched America make some really dumb decisions lately in its politics and in its medicine and in its liberties and freedoms. But I got to tell you, I was shocked to watch what happened recently in Israeli politics.
Yes, we
talk to us about it.
We suffer from the same syndrome of self-destruction. And it seems like it's all over the world right now.
Yeah.
Israel has given up on its statesmen and chose a crooked and a very opportunist politician instead, and the results came immediately. Right now, we are held and perceived as a joke in almost every aspect.
We resemble that.
Yes, I know. Whatever you started feeling from, I guess, since January, I started feeling since June. I mean, 6 months delay. But we go through the same thing. Every rational thing that needs to be done is not being done. And the very populist and completely detached from reality, those steps are being taken. And everybody's laughing at us, just like they do at you.
I mean,
the world around us is watching.
But they're laughing at you, too.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought you said me.
No, no, no. I'm saying they're laughing at you, and
you
now they're
America.
Laughing at... Yes.
I thought you meant
me. Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, no. I'm talking about America and Israel. I see many parallels. And also I see parallels in the way the two leaders that we had before were removed in by ways of deception, by ways of corruption, and how the, even in Israel, the judicial system enabled all of that. So I see many parallels, and we're at the point right now in history where America is declining and Israel also is being perceived weak, and it is perfect for what's next and for what we've been teaching for the last 20, 30 years that is going to happen.
What you just said is so awesome, and I want to pitch it to Jan, because I think we believe that that wasn't political theater, what happened in America and in Israel. It wasn't political strategy. Don't you think that the political realm and the issues of culture were being used by spiritual forces.
Yes.
Don't we agree that behind the scenes of all of this political stuff, even in California with what's going on regarding life or pro-life, it's not the politician, is it? It's not the party. Jan, what powers are really surfacing?
Well, the power that's surfacing, it's so obvious. The spirit of Antichrist is just overwhelming. I come from a part of the country that parts of it burned to the ground in spring of 2020 because the spirit of Antichrist is so alive and well. But I think for that spirit of Antichrist to really get going now, I mean, 21st century, we're going to head into a new year not that far away. America has to be neutralized. Israel has to be taken down a step. And behind a curtain that's just about to be open is a man with a plan. I think he's on the scene. Yeah. He's waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
And as I said a little while ago, I think Satan has always had someone waiting in the wings. Always. He doesn't know when
don't
the end
think
of the
so?
End is.
Yeah.
Every generation he's had. We just don't know who it is.
Isn't that interesting, Jack? There's levels. I see layers. I see, of course, powers and principalities. But then I see their human minions are those who think that they are gods. And these are the powerful families, and they use politicians,
yes,
and they use police and law enforcement. So you see that eventually it's the one who want to be God who convinces some powerful people that they are like God, but yet they're not the Antichrist yet, but they are the powerful people that enable the politicians to do what they want to do, and they are those who direct orders so everyone will dance to their music.
The layer concept, that's very, very good, because the people who, for example, Jan mentions the Antifa BLM type rioters leading up to the 2020 elections, destabilizing things. Yeah. They thought that they had the power, they were celebrating, they were rejoicing, but they were actually being used by,
like
you just said, the brokers, and then even those brokers were being used.
Yes.
And then, of course, ultimately, I believe what we believe is that Satan is moving. This should be an encouragement to people. See, how can you say that? Because we're living at a time when Satan, seemingly by the cards that he's playing, he's acting as though he has liberty and freedom. He's moving, you name it, from local cultures to global cultures. And Barry, you mentioned the church. You said the church, and Amir is struggling with having Israeli pride, which we should have pride in our nations. I mean that in a good way. Germans should be proud of Germany.
Absolutely.
English should be proud of England. As an American, we struggle with being an American right now. Hey, I have to tell you, there's a sense of I have to apologize for being a pastor or a Christian in this day and age if somebody doesn't know anything about us, because the church, it's almost a joke. So my question to you is kind of what A.W. Tozer asked, that if a church is not preaching New Testament theology and ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, can it be a New Testament church? And you look around the world right now, and we're starting to have to ask that question. Is the church that has gone woke, is that a New Testament church? Is a church that's not teaching about Jesus' return, can it be a New Testament church? A church that doesn't see the Word of God as being absolute authoritative in the rule of our lives, can it be a New Testament church? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing that Jesus wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount with in Matthew 7:21, where he talks about those who come to him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do a lot of Christian stuff? Mm. And then they mention three areas where people are really focused on today, these signs and wonders.
Yeah.
And the emotional attachment things that people, everybody wants to see because of the experiential aspect. And he says, yeah, you may have done all those things, but what you didn't realize is that the power is in my name. Mm. I didn't know you. And he didn't say, you know, I used to know you, but then I forgot you. He said, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness, who live with this antinomian mentality today, that there's no moral standard for any Christian to live by because grace has completed the package and we don't have to repent or any of those other things. So I think that's a lot of what we're seeing. And to answer your question, no, by definition, that's not the church. That's not the body of Christ.
So with what you just said, if somebody showed up in Minneapolis or in Jerusalem performing some form of miracle or miracles in some name, I believe that we're finally now at a stage, the church is so weak and doesn't know what it believes, the church is so weak, isn't it? That it would now follow that person.
Absolutely.
Already are.
The stage is set. Absolutely.
With just a claim. They're already doing that with just a claim. Come here and learn how to heal. Come here and learn how to be a prophet. And
school of prophecy.
Yeah, school of miracles. Those kind of things where God has said, 1 Corinthians 12:11, that he distributes the gifts individually as he wills. You can't get a gift that he doesn't want you to have. Mm-hmm. But people will flock to these places. Oh, I want that. Well, if God doesn't have it for you, you're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are having places where people have focused exclusively on these experiential type things. And of course, everybody wants to see. And that's why when the Antichrist comes on the scene, lying signs in one of his
You've been quoting verses. And I think the problem is biblical illiteracy. Mm-hmm. See, when churches don't teach the Bible, then they fall into all of these things. What you've done is not using your own brains. You just quoted scriptures. My point is, it wasn't
your idea. He's in a mood today.
I mean,
he's in black.
Listen, what I'm trying to say is that so many churches don't teach the Bible anymore. And so it's so easy to open a school of prophets when you don't teach the full counsel of God. Then you need things that may appeal to you, but you don't understand that you're not the one that gives it to the people. And everything, whenever we have to establish something, if we don't establish it by the word of God, then we can't establish it.
You just said it's a powerful thing because the fact that in the post-COVID church world, the influx of people that we have seen come, no church wants to grow with cross growth.
Branch transfers.
Transfers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not a good thing. Now it turns out to be a good thing because the people that are coming, at least to this church, they're born again, but they have no knowledge. Mm. They don't know anything about the Lord's return or why is the Bible authoritative? Mm. And you talk to a lot of the remnant.
And I want to ask you two are pastors, and either one of you can answer this. I have actually brought it up in my message, but when the church got locked down, spring 2020, churches opened some 3 months, 6 months later, some a year later. I start getting emails, one after another after another. In the time that they were shut and then reopened, my church went woke.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll ask you, then you. Number one, what does that mean, my church went woke? And number two, how did it happen? How can you just close your doors and suddenly when you open them, you're different? You're not what you were a year ago. How does that happen? How does it happen? How can church leadership let it happen?
You're on the hot seat right now. How do you let it happen?
I think really the focus becomes seats instead of Savior.
Okay.
How are we going to get people in the room?
All right.
And it becomes the primary intention of those who are standing behind the podium. Well, this really isn't selling today.
Okay.
And people aren't buying into this. We need something that's more user-friendly. And so let's craft the message according to what culture is looking for, and that all came out of the whole seeker-driven movement.
It came, and that's 25, 30 years old.
Right.
So it seems like, okay, then seeker must have gone completely on overdrive in this little interim I'm talking about, 6 months, a year.
Because remember, George Floyd happened in June.
Yes, yes.
And then the whole country turned upside down.
Upside down.
So now if you don't adopt this narrative, you better not open your church.
And that narrative, the George Floyd narrative, ended up in the pulpits. And that's what I'm trying
that
to
fast.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to under. I've been working in the church a lot of years, and I've not seen. And I've watched Laodicea creep in, but now it rushed in. Mm. It rushed in like a flood.
Laodicea is definitely the majority. It's prevailing. It's predominant. Laodicean period. I think, Jan, to answer your question is that for decades, this has been below the surface waiting to get out.
Okay.
It's almost like it's almost like one of the Hawaiian islands. Below it is lava just waiting for a crack. And when the crack came, everything oozed out. And when I say that, I mean that this is decades, if not longer, of seminaries. It's honestly, let's be honest.
Okay.
We're going to get mail. You're going to get mail for this. If the church would have done its job, there would have been no reason for a Christian university, a Christian college, or a seminary.
Okay.
Let's be honest. And so what's happened, we've got churches that have not addressed verse by verse, chapter by chapter teaching. So then they send off kids to go to Christian universities that are now headed up by people who do not believe in the authenticity of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids now go from a very, very shallow, subterranean view of Christianity. Then they go to a college, at a very tender age, they're impressed with the wrong impression, mm-hmm. and they get a degree. And they think that with the conveyance of a degree comes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And they start a church somewhere because they're Dr. So-and-so or masters and whatsoever's. And they have no high view of Scripture. Okay. And what do? They reproduce sheep or whatever's just like themselves.
If you just join me, I'm playing the roundtable discussion from the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference last September 11th, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Participants included Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Barry Stagner, and yours truly. We do have complete sets of DVDs still available. They're in my online store, in my newsletters, or you can order by calling my office. Let's wrap up today's program.
So now we're living in an age where it has now all come out. Jesus said, whatever can be shaken, yes, shall be shaken. That which shall remain, shall remain. So now we see the church in the world that has a new vision. It has a new gospel. There are new missions. The missions are cleaning up the beach. I'm not against cleaning up the beach. But when that becomes your mission to save the earth, we're a Christian church. We have a mission to save the earth and to wipe away graffiti. That's nice stuff. But we pay taxes for that. Are we preaching the gospel?
Yeah. Okay, but what crept in to the pulpit? Race, race, race. I mean, I realize this gets back to George Floyd. I understand. My office is 20 minutes from where the Floyd incident took place. The pastors and the church leadership let that come into the pulpits. No to Bible prophecy. We wouldn't have Amir Sarfati in our church. No. Are you kidding? No, but we're going to have somebody who's going to talk about how
something
we can... Something woke and social justice.
Yeah. And it's creeping into Calvary Chapels also.
Okay. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Wokeness maybe comes from, is it something that's wonky? Is it something that's wonky off?
Yeah.
Well, because the church has been off, right? It's woke. And it's a sad day, Jan, because as soon as the Floyd thing happened, there were pastors of note who within an hour.
Right.
Posted a black screen mm-hmm. on their yep. phone or on their computer or whatever, their device, not even thinking for a moment. And it just spooks me because these are leaders that have clearly no discernment. They had to get out there ahead of the social media hype mm-hmm. without even listening to the Holy Spirit. And then would I want to go to a church that's how the pastor or the ministry makes its decision by testing the wind mm-hmm. of the culture? Mm-hmm. No way.
Got to look to the book.
Yep.
It's funny that we're talking about this. My message on Sunday is titled Awake or Woke, and it's from Ephesians 5. And I thought it was interesting that Paul started off with, and we're going to start with verse 11, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And then later he gives a quote from an old hymn, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ mm-hmm. will give you life. And within that, it reminds us that the church has a responsibility to expose it. He's talking about unfruitful works of darkness in the church. We're to reach out to a lost and dying world that isn't living in darkness. They are darkness. And that's how we're described, as you were once mm-hmm. darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And part of our responsibilities is to expose those things that are unfruitful within the church. Mm-hmm. And he calls the church to awake to this, arise you who are dead in this, mm-hmm. and Christ will reinstate your role and responsibility as light.
And talking about that, let's shift from that to this. Today, more than ever, young people should be packing Bible teaching churches. Young people mm-hmm. today should be seeking mm-hmm. out stable, safe eschatology.
Yes.
Why are the young people not seeking truth right now? Why are they not knocking down the doors of the church?
I had somebody come up to me one time and say, you know, you're a good communicator, but why do you quote the Bible so much? You know, it's, well, we're in church. That's, we're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. And you know, I think a lot of times, some of our kids are so savvy in this techno age and information age that we live in, they can smell a fraud like that.
That's right.
And when somebody is up there who's just presenting a package, but knows nothing about what they're actually teaching and hasn't mm-hmm. lived and experienced it, that they see that right away.
Yep. You just hit the nail on the head. Thank you. It's the young people today. You can't judge them by their appearance. What I mean by that is they don't look like they're engaged. Their head is down. Mm-hmm. Their device is up. Right. They look like they're a zombie, comatose individual. If you can get them to talk, you're looking at a culture that, for all of us, you're too young maybe, I think, but the culture of...
Thank you.
...of Southern California pre-Jesus movement, the revival of the 60s and 70s, the hippie looked like a stoned-out, good-for-nothing bum, which they were. But they looked around and they began to say, I'm kind of sick and tired of being a stoned-out hippie. There's got to be more to life. And they jumped to the Bible. The difference was, why didn't they go to every church? They didn't. They went to, of all things, like a 45-year-old man who was ancient in those days, who sat on a stool and had his Bible open and just talked to them about the Bible. Yeah. Point being, authenticity. The young people today, they want that which is authentic. And if that's wrapped with truth,
yes,
this is where the next great move of the Holy Spirit, I believe, will take place, is among the young people today.
If we have time, Jack, for... I'm expecting a Trump at any minute, so I'm not sure how much time we have to prepare for what you're talking about.
Well, we prepare for it, expecting him to come.
We do. We press on, absolutely. I've been actually encouraged in the department you're talking about. I've been hearing from younger people. I've met them, as a matter of fact. And again, I think it gets down to a remnant, and I think we use that word a lot. We should even talk about what that means. But there's a remnant of believers that understand the truth and love the truth. Mm-hmm. There's a remnant of churches that stand for the truth. Mm-hmm. In other words, it is not. It's not a lot, but it's a remnant. There's a remnant of young people that truly get it. God has opened their mind and eyes to understand what we're talking about as 20-somethings and 30-somethings, and they encourage me something tremendous. I wish it were multitudes. It may never be. I'm thankful for what there are.
I think we were never meant to be the majority ever.
No, we're not.
The only place and time we will ever be, not just the majority, will be everything. It's in the New Jerusalem.
Exactly.
Even in the millennial kingdom, we will not be the majority.
Right.
I'm looking at how many will join Satan in his last ditch.
That's right.
In like the numbers, like the sand of the sea. I'm like, how in the world, after 1,000 years of physical reign of Jesus himself, in Jerusalem with blessings innumerable and no satanic influence on earth, you cannot blame Satan. And yet he's released and boom, just like that. So I'm thinking, really, if you think that you can have God's kingdom here on earth before Jesus comes, even when he will come back and establish the millennial kingdom and reign from Jerusalem, man's heart will be so desperate. But again, word remnant, as you said, even among the young ones, I think that the young ones are looking at the generation right above them, and they're either proud of them or ashamed of them right now. For the most part, they are probably ashamed.
Yes.
We need to understand not only that the non-believers are looking at us, but the younger generation that is supposedly within the church is looking up. I am very discouraged when I travel around the world to see people that are manipulating these young people. They are playing with their minds. They are trying to get their attention with deception and trying to get their attention with clickbaits and things that they know it's not true, but yet get their attention, they'll use it. The best way to get somebody's attention is to use the Word of God and to rely on the power that God gives you to communicate His Word. And who are we to think that we, by ourselves, without Him, can communicate His Word?
That's right.
I love the fact that I believe we're getting back to 21 centuries ago, the power of the church.
Exactly.
Meaning this, it doesn't matter about the clickbaits. It doesn't matter about the spin. It doesn't matter about the incredibly ridiculous deception of the fact checkers. I went to factcheckers.com. What an act of buffoonery that is. You know what? It doesn't matter anymore, because like the first century church, Rome knew one thing for sure about Christians. They didn't understand the theology. They didn't get this. You know, they called this, by the way, I don't know if you realize this, the early first, second, third century church, we were called atheists in those days. Did you know that?
No.
Rome called us atheists because we believed in one God. Mm-hmm. We were atheistic versus Rome was monotheistic. So they called us the atheists. But they said, those Christians, those atheists of this one God, this one thing we cannot refute. They love each other. And I think that's the answer. That's where we're returning to now, is that people can be young or old. The universal communication that is working today, we're seeing it here at church, and I'm delighted, is that you're seeing the love of Jesus, because the love of Jesus counters clickbait. They can't even compete. But what has to happen is that the church has got to meet. The church has got to come together to love on each other. You yes. cannot love on each other by staying at home online. As soon as you possibly can, you must, in some way, shape, or form, gather together, even if it's just a few people. You've got to love on one another's
can
needs.
Can I ask a question? How dysfunctional, then, can we allow a church to be and still attend?
I don't know.
Some of them are in very bad shape, and maybe in a community there are only 5 optional churches, and each one is flawed. I'll ask you then, Barry, I mean, how dysfunctional before we have to walk away?
Yeah, I think when you start getting into that realm of woke and you're finding cultural fads making its way behind the pulpit, that that's the time to exit. We've got a church that may have a particular focus that maybe ignores prophecy because it's intimidating to the pastor or whatever. You can supplement that by watching things like this.
True.
You know, so that's not necessarily a disqualifying factor that they're not focusing, even though they should. But if generally they're rightly dividing the word, if they're teaching the Bible, and whether that be through a topical format or a line upon line, as long as the word is going out, then there's the potential for effectiveness to some degree.
Okay.
I think they're missing out if they're not talking about 27% of the book.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 8,200 verses out of 33,000 that are talking about things that fascinate us and prepare us for the days in which we live.
Yeah.
Jack, you said something interesting about Pastor Chuck and what happened back in the Jesus movement. You know, we find the word revival in Ezra. Ezra prayed for him. Perhaps God will give us a measure of revival. That Hebrew word there means to renew the validity. Basically, that means to return to the valid work of the kingdom of God. Pastor Chuck was doing the valid work of the kingdom of God in that he was sitting on a stool, line upon line, precept upon precept, presenting the word of God, and the church became fruitful. You know, we know his story. He had 17 years of preaching to his family, basically, 25 people or so.
Right.
And then when he renewed the validity of what the church used to do, even though Pastor Chuck was always an awesome and wonderful man, he realized that he needed to shift gears and get to that. And man, the hippies started coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The love they were looking for was found.
Right.
And the valid work of the church was renewed. So I think we have a lot more ability to control a revival. And it's not just simply just some move of God to where nobody's doing anything, even though those things happen.
This is correct.
But when you renew the validity, the valid work of the church, preach the word, that there's going to be a fruitfulness that comes from that. It just can't go any other way.
Prerequisite to revival is turning toward him, and then he revives. That's why he says, if my people.
Yes.
He's not asking the godless to turn to him.
Right. The drunk, the soul.
That's an awakening.
Yeah. Yeah.
A revival
Amen.
Is when the church returns. Yeah. Let's end with this. To answer your question, Jan, about that, I have to answer each individual who asks me that question.
Sure.
We get asked that a lot. This church gets asked that a lot, where people will say, listen, we attend online, but we live in XYZ city. We can't find a church. And Pastor Jack just said that we really are not exactly the church until we're in church. And that is a fact.
Right.
You're just getting Bible teaching if you're online, and that's fine.
Right.
It's the same as listening to Christian radio. It's great, but it's not church. You've got to experience each other.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I try to prayerfully customize my answer to the one that's asking the question. So if somebody says, in XYZ village, we do not have a church.
Mm-hmm.
There's churches, but we don't have a church that's teaching the Word of God. Yet, I do need human interaction regarding church. And for some, the answer I give them is this. Continue to join us online. Pray and seek the Lord with all of your heart. Get armored up. Isn't this a terrible thing?
Mm-hmm.
Get armored up and go to that church on Sunday. Not expecting to get anything out of it. I'm asking you to go to that church on Sunday as a missionary to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it just might be that what you're learning with us online, you speak to one person there, and if somebody is throwing fire flame balls from the pulpit or money or gold dust, I don't care. Because you are now there, viewing it almost as a lost world.
Yeah.
And you're the missionary to that local church. And so now you say to Susie or to Mike, hey, you know what? Something about being born again, or when did you come to Christ? Mm-hmm. Stimulate the conversation. Because if a little leaven leavens the whole lump, then perhaps righteousness, light, can affect the darkness. So this is Remarkable Age. Guys, we got to get back to what's going on. We're delighted that you're at the conference with us. We'll be talking with you again later.
The new year is upon us. If you're watching headlines, you know it's going to be a challenging time. The church must be salt and light and the preservative in a decaying culture. The Lord Jesus Christ could call his church home in this new year in what is known as the rapture of the church. The consequences of missing that event are staggering for a left-behind culture, and that is why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, that you may be saved. Romans 10 says all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Turn your life around today and let the King of Kings make you a new creature that is heaven-bound. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. You are the love
song we'll sing forever. As we end a year and begin a new one, we want to say thank you to all who have stood with us as we proclaim the gospel, apprise you of our times, and offer hope in the turmoil of our day. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Be encouraged and always remember that everything is falling into place.